And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, happy Good Friday to the Christian listeners of The Savage Nation around the world, and happy Purim to the Jewish listeners, even those who disagree with me from yesterday's program. Today is an extremely important day in the world, a few days after the Muslims went on another rampage, killing, maiming, seems to be related to a ninth sutra in the Quran itself, according to the Muslims who want their religion to kind of come into the 15th century from the 9th century, to come in out of the cold, as it were. And the Quran's deadly role in Belgian slaughter was written by a Muslim whose father served in the military, published in the USA Today. So if you disagree with me, send him a letter. He knows more about it than you do or I do together. He is calling for the Quran's, shall I say, enlightenment, because there are too many throwbacks who take it literally and kill in the name of Allah. Now, unless we understand this, we're all going to be maimed. I'll be very clear with you. I'm a student of natural history, a trained scientist in the field of natural history. It doesn't take a trained anything to know what survival is. Just watch a flock of ducks. Just look at six ducks floating around on a body of water. And as you enter the scene, even slowly, even stealthily, not to kill them, just to look at them, the ducks have a sixth sense of the arrival of another being that might harm them, and they move away from you. A sixth sense. Every animal on earth has a sixth sense that permits them to survive, except one animal, the liberal animal, the liberal human animal has no sixth sense. It was killed by feminism. It was killed by drugs. It was killed by a distortion of survival itself. The West is in total decline because of this loss of a sense of survival, in my humble opinion. So I say, just look at the animals. An animal moves away from any threat that approaches it. And we bring them into the country by the millions? You say, what do you mean by them? Use common sense. If the bombs keep going off in Europe and they're coming from one demographic group, from one religion, wouldn't you say it makes sense to stop the influx of this demographic group from this religion? Well, it would if you were the animal that wanted to survive. If, on the other hand, you were a suicidal girl from NYU, you would say, bring more of them in, and then maybe they'll stop killing us. I can't help people who want to commit suicide, but I can't let them drag me over the edge. At the same time, our fascist president, you know, that nice thin guy who just used two Air Force Ones on a Easter break for the wife and kids in South America. Yeah, your president, the fascist president, had the nerve to say in a speech down there that there's no difference between socialism and capitalism. And he told the students, just choose any system that works whenever you want. If he is not the enemy within warned us that we have been warned about for centuries, I'd like to know who is. But I don't want to focus on him right now. I want to focus on a story that's circulating in the media, and that's about Ted Cruz having had five extramarital affairs, which Cruz calls garbage. I find this to be disgusting, by the way, because I have been a victim of assassination by innuendo for my entire career. Both from those who pose as constitutional conservatives, who smeared me day and night, and others in the media. They've assassinated me by innuendo, and thus far I've survived it. It's not pretty to live through this garbage, but when it comes from conservatives, it's even more irking, because I thought conservatives were better than liberals. But no, they're really not better than liberals. It's just another business for most people. Now, I go where the truth is, so let me start with my opinion. This came out today from Fox 32 News in Chicago based upon a National Enquirer story that just broke, which says that Cruz was involved in five extramarital affairs, citing unnamed political insiders. Now, Cruz vehemently denied the claims today. Do we have the sound of Cruz, Robert? If we do, would you kindly play it?
The National Enquirer published a story It is a story that quoted one source on the record, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's chief political advisor. Let me be clear, this National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies. It is a tabloid smear, and it is a smear that has come from Donald Trump and his henchmen.
Well, by what I have learned, and this is an exclusive to the Savage Nation, you're not going to hear it from anyone else, because no one has the sources I have on this story. I have sources. And let me tell you something. I support Donald Trump, but the scandal is false. That's what I've been told by someone who has a source, someone who I, let us say, work with closely, who I would trust with my life, has a source inside the Enquirer. He called the Enquirer, and he was told this, and this is all anonymous. I'm quoting now. He said, we don't have it, meaning it's all innuendo. And it was written very carefully, implying it without stating it, to smear Ted Cruz. So I asked, who owns the Enquirer? And this source told me the Enquirer is owned by AMI. AMI is run by a David Pecker. David Pecker is a close friend of Donald Trump. David Pecker flies to Florida from New York on Trump's private jet. I was told again, I can't confirm or deny it, that Mr. Pecker, what a name, is personally involved in the anti-Cruz stories. Now, I don't blame Donald Trump, but if he finds out that this Pecker is behind it, he should get rid of this connection, because this is not going to help him at all. David Pecker is chairman, president, and CEO of American Media, Inc. AMI owns the National Enquirer, the Star, the Globe. So, my friends, in my opinion, this is utter garbage, and Cruz is rightly offended. This is assassination by innuendo. It's important you hear this. It's real important that you hear this, because I go where the truth is. I've supported Trump, and probably still will, but if he won't disavow this guy Pecker and this story, I may withdraw my support from anyone in this campaign. I'll tell you right now. I have nothing to gain or lose personally from it, unlike many in the media who are tied at the hip to the candidates they support. I am not going to support anyone who engages in assassination by innuendo. And so that's all I want to say on that matter. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Today is Good Friday for the Christian world. It's an important religious day. Probably, maybe more important than Christmas in some ways. It's an important day in many ways. And I was going to take the day off last night. I was burned out at the end of the week, as you heard my voice yesterday. I told the guys to get a fill-in. And then at night, I had a vision. You can take it for what it's worth, or you can leave it for what it's worth. Since it's my show, I'll tell you what it was. I laid down to sleep, and I saw an image that looked like Jesus in a green robe. I know, oh, he's crazy now. Now he's one of those. No, I don't care what you say to me. I happen to live in a Christian world, so images like this prevail. They're dominant, but I've never seen it before. So I laid in bed, and I saw this image of a Jesus-like figure in a green robe that was glowing. And I said to myself, Michael, you can shut this off, or you can raise the contrast on the color. I raised the contrast on the color. I didn't have a conversation, but I knew I had to go on the radio today. That's all it was for me. That's all it was for me. So here I am on Good Friday, the Gospel of Savage. Also a day that Jewish people have celebrated more so yesterday than today, which is Purim. And of course, I kept saying yesterday that, well, I don't even want to repeat it because we had too many arguments over it. And I don't want to have it again. To me, I'm into survival. And if a religion doesn't give you survival, it gives you nothing. If a religion doesn't give you the ability to strengthen yourself spiritually so you can be stronger physically and defend yourself, then it's a worthless religion, in my opinion. If it teaches you to kiss the feet of immigrants, I have a picture that I cannot believe is actually circulating of the Pope kissing the feet of African Muslims 2 days after the Belgian bombing. I think the Pope is insane, personally. I think he's a deranged socialist fool. that's not only from the kissing the feet, which is disgusting as far as I'm concerned. It looks like a foot fetish to me. Maybe he shares that with Nancy Pelosi. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's from toxic wafers that were dispensed by some source from Italy. But the issue is not that. The issue is the Pope is a liar and a stooge of the socialist New World Order, as evidenced by his statements that are absolutely fallacious on the issues of climate change. He knows nothing about climate change, nothing whatsoever. So why would this charlatan from South America push climate change? Why would he tell us to open our borders to immigrants while they are coming in and damaging our nation? Why would he do that? I'll let you figure it out. We've talked about it over and over and over again. But today is Good Friday. Today is also, for the sake of discussion, we'll continue the discussion of Purim, where I still don't understand why grown-ups in the Jewish tradition get drunk and eat sweets, especially in a world in which their survival is threatened on a daily basis. Oh, you can remember Purim. Okay, remember that King Haman was once your evildoer, but you have a King Haman in the White House right now who hates Israel, who has done more harm to the relations between the United States and Israel than all presidents prior to him, who doesn't even mask his hatred for Israel. And yet liberal Jews flock to King Haman in the White House. Liberal Jews who are in the media will not even report of the excesses of our King Haman, flying to South America on two Air Force Ones, cavorting with a dictator in Cuba, then flying to South America on two Air Force Ones so the wife and kids can have another sightseeing tour. This is a fact of reality. It doesn't bother you? And then King Haman lectures Argentinian students that there's no difference between capitalism and socialism. They should pick and choose between both systems. They're equal. Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? The man is stripped off his mask. He is doing everything he's always intended to do, but more nakedly now, because there is no opposition party and no opposition press. Just stooges like the Zika virus themselves. Viruses like the Zika virus could not do as much harm as the media has done to the nation's mentality. Now, that's the opening to the show. I'm not going to keep adding to the opening. I'm just going to tell you that that's the opening. Let's play a little more of Handel's Messiah, if that's what we were playing. And I'll take your calls on the fake crew sex scandal, on the Pope kissing the feet of Muslims after the Belgian bombing, on King Haman, and on my vision. This is the Savage News. Well, I don't think there are too many coincidences in this world, but just when I went on the air, within a minute of it, Trump disavowed any connection to the Cruz smear on Twitter. Trump's statement on Cruz sex scandal story, Donald J. Trump Twitter. Here's what Donald wrote. He said, I have no idea whether or not the cover story about Ted Cruz in this week's issue of the National Enquirer is true or not, but I had absolutely nothing to do with it, did not know about it, and have not as yet read it. Likewise, I have nothing to do with the National Enquirer, and unlike Lion Ted Cruz, I do not surround myself with political hacks and henchmen and then pretend total innocence. Ted Cruz's problem with the National Enquirer is his and his alone, and while they were right about O.J. Simpson, John Edwards, and many others, I certainly hope they're not right about Lion Ted Cruz. I look forward to spending the week in Wisconsin, winning the Republican nomination, and ultimately the presidency in order to make America great again. Well, very nice. Came out just when I went on the air with the story. There are no coincidences in the world. That's all I can tell you. I happen to know how this leaked to him and why he had to do a backstop on it. Well, I would say, Mr. Trump, if your henchmen are listening to this show, as I know some do on a regular basis, and I thank them for learning so much from Government Zero, Stop the Coming Civil War, and all of my other books. Many of my talking points for years have become yours, and I appreciate that. If what you say is true, Mr. Trump, then disavow any connection to David J. Pecker, owner of the National Enquirer. And I think that would be a good start to cleaning up this campaign and focusing on the evildoer in the White House and the woman who wants to continue his legacy of, shall I say, crypto-socialism or crypto-fascism, whatever you'd like to call it. Unbelievable. I was going to take the day off. Look what's going on here. Purim meets Good Friday. Purim meets Good Friday. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lemi, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the other Christian said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It's chilling when you think about it. Over 1 billion people on the planet are Christians. You wouldn't know it, given the terrorists in the media, the anti-Christian terrorists in the media, who refuse to report on the Christian genocide. Many of them wear crosses, of course, on television. It's very good for the rubes out there, but they never talk about the Christian genocide being conducted by Muslims. Christianity being annihilated in the Middle East, churches blown up. Not one word coming from the charlatan crypto-fascist in the White House. It's sickening. But I get up every day and I try to give you what I think is important. So the smear of Ted Cruz has to stop. Donald Trump disavowed his connection to it, but the truth is, it wasn't he who published it. It was David J. Pecker, who owns the National Enquirer.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
God sees the truth but waits. Or is God dead? Or has God abandoned this planet? Or has God abandoned this universe, giving up on man? When you see the atrocities being committed by Muslims in the name of their religion in the Middle East, killing Christians, raping young girls, and an almost ignorance of it, a purposeful ignorance by Anderson Cooper, Rupert Murdoch, and his minions, it's enough to make you ask, where is God when you need him? And so we have a religious tradition in America of Christianity, primarily. We hear Judeo-Christian traditions, but it's a Christian tradition based upon the Jewish Bible. And, of course, the Jewish people are a very small minority in America. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't have the facts and figures. A nation of, what, 350 million people? What's the percentage? I can't do the math right now. My mind is somewhere else. Purim meets Good Friday. Do you follow any religious traditions anymore? And how do Christians commemorate Good Friday? There are many rituals, by the way, for true Christians. Most people who listen to the radio on a day like today would be people who are not that religious, I would think, or they're listening in a car on the way to or from church. Or do people now hide their Christianity out of fear they'll be mocked by the vermin in the media and the vermin in their workplace? They hide their crosses and hide their Bibles? Well, of course they do. That's the wave of new fascism in America, where the only religion that's permitted to be shown is that of Islam. The only good news is that in Belgium, after the slaughter, immigrants are being seen for what they are, a threat to the survival of Belgium itself. And the membership of the far-right white power group has doubled in 3 days. Belgian white power groups as membership has rocketed this week. Support for the anti-Islam party Vlaams Belang surge on social networks. And you should see the article, because if you look at the faces of the new right in Europe, they're like movie stars, young, good-looking men. And there's an interesting banner that one of them is marching with, men, women, big men. This is the face of Belgium that will not... These are the ducks I'm talking about who know that the country's in danger of falling completely to the invader. They will save Belgium. I told you years ago I was saying to you that only the soccer thug can save England. Remember I said things like that and you laughed at me? Remember I said only the soccer thug can save England? Not those fools who they put in office who stabbed their own country in the back? I told you that the leaders of the West were like the Indian chiefs who sold out the Native Americans for wampum and some guns and liquor. We've been sold out by our own leadership. How many years have I told you the same thing? So anyway, you look at them marching in Belgium, the Vlaams Belang marchers, and you see ordinary Belgian people, men, women, and they're marching with a banner. And one of the banners has a picture of a stick figure throwing in a trash can certain symbols. And at the bottom of the garbage can is the Nazi symbol. At the top of the garbage can is the symbol of the EU. They've awakened to their own needs for survival. They recognize that the unelected European Union, call them socialists if you want, they're not socialists, is the new Soviet Union. Just like Obama's a member of this kind of new soft Soviet power around the world. Giving a speech saying that there's no difference between socialism, Marxism, and capitalism? Okay, I don't want to even go into that one right now. But the scandal is awesome. And the topics are important today, including the Trump-Cruz thing on the Easter holiday. And on my dream. Robert W. M.A.L., go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Yes, sir. Dream. About 35 years ago, I was working in Elkton, Maryland. I woke up about 4:30 in the morning with a phone number and a name in my mind. I wrote it down on this newspaper, forgot about it. When I got home, about 120 miles from there, I thought, oh, gee, why don't I call the number? I was hoping it wouldn't be real. I called and I said, is Adelaide there? And the girl hesitated. She said, this is she. And I freaked out. I was going, oh, my God, please don't hang up. Please don't hang up. Please, you know, I'm not a pervert. I'm a creep. So she says, oh, that's not usual people having dreams like that. I said, it's not. What are you talking about? Anyway, she wanted to meet me. And then I thought, oh, my God, I've called a psycho. She's going to kill me. But anyway, I ended up meeting her. I met her parents. She was the first person that told me they were Christian. I didn't say, well, bye now. I got to go. And a couple other things happened in future years. If you got a minute, I'll do them as quick as I can.
Wait. So you're saying you had a number come to your head in it spontaneously? You didn't even know where the number came from? You called it and it was this woman?
Well, it was a dream, but it wasn't images in the dream. I was like,
Wait. But the number, the phone number you're making this story up about, is it making this up for radio or is it real? Did you get a number in your head in a dream and call it and that was this woman?
Well, no, I had the, when I got home, I thought, I'd forgotten I had it, I had the newspaper, I wrote it.
I understand, but the number came to your head from nothing, right?
Right.
Out of nowhere, the number appeared in your head. You called it up, Christian woman, did you marry her? Is that the point of the story?
It could be the girl of my dreams, no pun intended, but it didn't turn out to be that way. But I did know I should keep in touch with her. And I.
All right, so what's the punchline of the story? Because I don't know where we're going with this.
There's another thing, a couple.
All right, it's enough already. My neck started to hurt. Too much concentration. I felt the neck going forward. I was leaning into the microphone too much to hear it. Maybe it's important to him. It didn't make sense to me. But okay, whatever. It's open mic to Mike Friday. You want to have fun, call the show. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Trump disavowed his connection to the smear of Cruz, with the smear about Cruz. I go where the truth is. I don't care where it leads me. I don't care where it leads me and who I wind up supporting or not supporting. I don't care. How do you like that? Because I got nothing to gain or lose personally by who I support or don't support. I'm not being promised Solicitor General in a Cruz administration. Or, let's say, the head of the National Prayer Breakfast in the Cruz campaign. I can't believe what that one is saying. The hemorrhoid. The hemorrhoid's gone crazy altogether. I didn't know that Preparation H may be toxic, nor that it crosses the blood-brain barrier, but listening to Glenn Beck, I am pretty sure that someone should look into the ingredients of Preparation H because I think that it's damaging the neurons the way aluminum once did. But I think it does it much more rapidly after all these years of Prep H. Look what it's done to the man. ABC, Brad, welcome from New York City on this Good Friday. What's on your mind?
Michael, I have loved your show since I'm about 20 years old. Actually, I started listening to you right after the World Trade Center thing happened, and I haven't stopped since. I'm still relatively young, but I wanted to tell you, first of all, you have been right about everything. You foresaw it like in a dream. Like, you literally foreshadowed everything that's coming, including the rise of sort of a nationalist party and everything like that with Trump. And I got to tell you, man, there are so many young people that are behind this Trump thing. I mean, you can look at his rallies, yes, but I work with a lot of young people, and you would be shocked at the amount of 20 to 35-year-olds that absolutely love him and understand that he might be the last hope for a good future for them.
Yeah, well, I understand why, because he's espousing the themes that are necessary for the nation to survive, borders, language, and culture. I mean, when he says make America great again, first you need to define what makes a nation to begin with. A nation is defined by its borders. We have none. Obama destroyed them. After Clinton started taking them apart at the joints, Obama eliminated the border with Mexico. Language? Tell me that English is spoken in New York City right now in most places, and I would say you're making it up.
Absolutely. Mike, you saw it all.
There is no national language because of the multiculturalists. They want to destroy the language of the land in order to make sure that they can bamboozle the public. That's number two. Culture. What do I mean by culture? Well, let's start with the founding documents. U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Bible. Those are the founding documents of the United States of America. Tell me that these founding documents have not been made porous by the vermin in the media and the government complex. Of course they have. So, of course, children who have grown up in this country and want a future recognize that unless they rally around a nation, there is nothing for them. They'll be pushed out of their own country.
And
they go to school and they're told that there's white privilege, even if they were poor. They go to school and have to be beaten up by every degenerate on earth because that's the way the schools have become, the indoctrination centers. And they're sick of it. The children are breaking their chains. They're throwing their chains off.
I'm telling you right
now. Let me send you a Good Friday present. Stay in a line. Clint, get his address or send it up to Doug. We sent him Government Zero. Still the most important document of the year. Wow, what a day. I really was going to take the day off, but then after that dream, I sent an email and I said, guys, I'm on tomorrow. Please tell Mr. DiPietro that I'm sorry, but I'm not going to take the day off. I needed a breather. But you can hear in my voice, my energy's back, right? I was tired yesterday from what went on this week with the killings and the bombings. Look, if you do this for a living, you're not supposed to be affected by it. Well, I am, though. You can only distance yourself up to a point. But the sound of the week that got to me was the sound of the little girl in Belgium crying after the Muslim bombs went off. Oh, I'm sorry. The Islamic bomb went off. Oh, I'm sorry. The spontaneous combustion of those paint rags at the airport went off. That's what it was. It wasn't done by the Islamic State, even though they claim credit for it. It wasn't done by them at all. You see, it was a bunch of paint rags that were inadvertently left by the far right in Belgium that ignited inside a paint closet and set off those explosions. And the machine guns were not real. They were firecrackers set off by the far right. Well, read the New York Times. That's what you'll probably read. And if you think that this is a stretch of an exaggeration, you're wrong. That's how bad it is. You cannot find a reference to the bombing in the San Francisco newspaper today. Unless it's caused to blame the far right for it, for having provoked the Muslims. See? It doesn't matter what I say. Let me explain to you. It's too late now. It's too late now. The cat is out of the bag. The far right is rising across Europe. The far right is going to rise in this country under many guises. And when I say far right, I mean the average American. When I say the far right in Europe, I mean the average European. That's the far right today. The ones who have not fallen into the left, the pit of the far left. Anyone who wants to live is now the far right. Anyone who's married with a child and wants to raise the family in a Christian home is now the far right. Anyone who speaks the native language fluently is now the far right. Anyone who doesn't want diseased immigrants in their country is now the far right. Oh, you get the picture. Fill in the details. I've been doing it for 22 years, and I'm just getting started. I'm just warming up. Okay, my friends, I mean, I'll take your calls here. I'm here for you all day today, 3 full hours, God willing. Let's go to KSFO here in San Francisco. Misty, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just caught that about the prophetic dreaming, and, you know, you've obviously had the gift of prophetic vision, but I myself have had a few prophetic dreams that have come to pass. Kind of like one, like the last guy said, I had a phone number come into my mind many, many, many years ago, and I called it, and it was like a Jesus hotline.
Okay. Okay, but how did it change your life? How did it change your life?
Well, I've kind of been on a mission in a lot of ways to try to reach people, so it was just kind of a confirmation in that one where God was saying...
All right, I got it. I'm going to make it short. I'm going to keep the call short because I like to hear it. And most do, but it's commercial radio, and there are 75 to 100 options at any second for anyone listening to this or any other radio show. I got to keep the people listening. And some people say, oh, you hang up on the callers too soon. Well, I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. It's not a personal phone call you're listening in on. Okay, and it's my job to keep the pace going, so I determine, as the conductor of the show, what will keep people listening. I think she said, see, most people will give you the gist of what they're going to say right away and then add to it. Or if they can't give you the gist of what they're going to say right away, they shouldn't be on the radio to begin with. So that's the way it is. You have to have a good ear for these things. So, Good Friday. I don't understand why Christians call the day that celebrates the crucifixion of Jesus a good day. I don't get that part of it. I don't, it's not a sarcastic statement, I just don't understand it. Why would you call a day that Jesus was crucified Good Friday, if you're a Christian? Where does the good come in from it? Maybe someone could interpret that for me. I'm sure you can. I'm sure that there are people who've done this for centuries. Think of all the people, the brilliant theologians, the geniuses in the theological world who've been asked this question by other people out there over the years, right? My friends, what a day this is. Good Friday, Purim, fake cruise sex scandal, my dream. I got to paint that over the weekend. The day glow, green robe. If I have it again, if I have this dream again and he starts to speak to me, I'm in real trouble. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Unless Christians and Jews come together, well, it won't be so good for the world. It's time for Christians and Jews to come together. We had it for a while. Then we lost it for a long while. And we better have it again real fast. We better circle the wagons. That's all I can say to you. So the question I have is, what's so good about Good Friday? I don't understand it. I mean, from my perspective, why do you call it Good Friday when it's such a dark and bleak event commemorating a day of suffering and death for Jesus? On Good Friday, Christians remember the day Jesus was crucified. So joining us right now is my call screener, Clint Granberry. Clint has a theology degree from Abilene Christian University. Clint, would you come on the air, please? Abilene. My mistake. I'm not from Texas.
That's all right. It's Abilene.
It's Abilene, of course. I spelled it wrong. Clint, in a short sentence or two or whatever, what does it mean? What does it symbolize?
Well, technically, the Good Friday is the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament about the sacrifice of the lamb.
Okay, so but why do people call it Good Friday? Because it's the beginning of the prophecy?
Well, because if you're a Christian and you've been told that this prophecy was coming to you, the Redeemer was coming to you, the initiation of that phase was his actual death. So
in other words, the death of Jesus marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins.
Indeed.
Thank you, sir.
You're
back
welcome.
In a minute on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Friday show of The Savage Nation. I hope you didn't just join us, because sometimes it's really hard to summarize what went before it, because there were so many elements, so many moving parts, so many ideas, so many threads, that for me to continue the tapestry at this point, I have to continue the tapestry at this point without going back to where I inserted the needle into the fabric. So let me continue where I left off. Today is a day called Good Friday, probably the most important holiday in the Christian world. I would think it's almost more important than Christmas in so many ways, but I'm not here to judge what day is more important. It's a day that Christians around the world celebrate. You know that there are people who call themselves fallen Christians or non-practicing Christians, but they know this day. They know this day, they know Easter Sunday, and they know Christmas the same way the Jews who don't practice their religion know Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Passover. reduced to 2 or 3 days. And I'm not here to judge what anyone should do. But it's a day of crucifixion. And I began the show by talking about the tabloid crucifixion of one of the candidates for the presidency. The crucifixion of Ted Cruz by the National Enquirer intrigued me. I wasn't going to talk about it. And then I got a source on the inside. And he's high up. He's high up in the chain, the media chain. Let's put it to you that way. He knows the inside. And he said, I was just on the phone with my source at the Enquirer. And he said, remember, I was there during the Clinton era. And I was told we don't have it, meaning it's all innuendo. And we wrote it very carefully, implying without stating, but that's not what's interesting. He then went on to inform me that the Enquirer is owned by AMI, AMI run by David Pecker. David Pecker, close friend of Donald Trump. And then it offended me deeply because I've been assassinated by innuendo for my entire career. And I don't, I hate people who do things like that. Soros does it. He lives off it. The media does it. They live off of it. So I don't blame Trump because he disavowed himself from it. I don't blame him at all. He disavowed his connections to it. In a 90 percentile, he disavowed himself from it. I personally think that he should have gone further and just said that, you know, that he doesn't trade in this kind of gossip and he thinks it's below the campaign and we should focus on the monstrosity in the White House and the woman who would like to continue this monstrous regime. That's where we should be going today. And we are going in all these different directions at once. So now, right away, the media jumps on it. The minute I said it, you think I don't have a following. Well, here it just came out from the website, The Right Scoop. Michael Savage threatens to withdraw support from Trump over National Enquirer smear. Michael Savage said today on his radio show that the National Enquirer story smearing Ted Cruz is completely false, and he knows this based on a source he says he would trust with his life. Savage points out that Cruz is rightly offended over this utter garbage. But even more so, they write, Savage says that he abhors these attempts at of assassination by innuendo, as it has been done to him, and while he doesn't blame Trump for the story, he threatens to withdraw support of Trump if he doesn't completely disavow the story, and the man who owns the National Enquirer, David Pecker. Well, he's already disavowed it, so I still support Donald Trump, just to add to the story. He's disavowed it. He tweeted, actually, within a minute of my show opening. And there's nothing happens by accident. It happened within a minute of my show opening today because I had sent what I was going to talk about to a few people in the media. So no doubt there was a leakage. That's okay. And then we were talking about the meaning of Good Friday, the meaning of a dream I had. I never had a dream exactly like this. I had weird dreams, great dreams, frightening dreams. One of the most prophetic dreams was the White Owl of 2 years ago, which I painted and put up on Facebook. I don't put my paintings up for a number of reasons because I found out Facebook claims copyright in anything you put up there. I'm going to give Zuckerberg my paintings? The pig doesn't have enough already? No, he's not getting any more of my lifeblood. Let Piggy get it from somebody else, I said to myself. So anyway, this painting will be done this weekend if I can do it. But for your listening pleasure and your reading pleasure, I've just asked Doug Lynn to post a quick sketch of the vision on Facebook. Is it up already, Robert? It's up there. I can't believe it. I love the modern world. If you realize I grew up in a time of the Royal Typewriter, the Royal Portable, and then when I wanted to get the facts on something, I had to trudge to Jamaica Library. I had to take two buses and take a half a day out of my life to look up something. Do you realize that? What scholarship has become. Now, unfortunately, there's no vetting of much of the material that appears on the Internet. That is the real challenge for us today. But if you're a good enough researcher, you can more or less find out what's true and what's false if you're willing to go to many different sources. But you don't have to take two buses to get it. It's like a few clicks of the finger and you can be there, Teddy, see? So it's a wonderful world we live in. It is a wonderful world. It's a miracle for people who have inquisitive minds to have the Internet. I'm never bored. I shouldn't say never. I'm seldom bored. But when I do get bored, I have instant methods of erasing the boredom. Erasing it. And the Internet is one of the greatest portals into the universe. Unfortunately, much of it's garbage and a waste of time, but a lot of it isn't. I want to research a plant, a rare plant. I can find it on the Internet. I want to open up a journal on neuroscience. I can get at it. I want to see the latest in research on lipids. I can get that. It's amazing, isn't it? But how much of it is true when it comes to politics, God knows. The word politics itself derives from the Greek. Look it up, get the etymological dictionary, and you'll see what it derives from. I unfortunately do not have my etymological dictionary, so I can't just spit it out. Where is my etymological dictionary of the origin of the word politics? Where did that dictionary go? Here it is. Someone moved it. I have a maid. Sometimes I wonder why she touches these things. Here is my important book. I bought it 30 years ago. When I don't have it, sometimes I feel like I'm blind walking around in a desert. The Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language by Skeet, Oxford University Press, if you want to be impressed. And it shows you the origin of words. I don't know when I bought it, 1983, who knows when. So let's go together to the word politics, and let us see what it derives from on the show for thinking people. And let's see, poignant, ponder, police, Polish, Polak, God. Where is this pollock? Pollock is what they put into bad sushi in a California. I hate that false, that fake crab. It's probably healthier for me than a real crab, given the origin of crab today. What word was I looking up? Politics, right? Politics. Are you kidding? Here it is, politic. Got it. See? Politics? See police? You're kidding me. Did you know that? Did it send you back to police? Now I need a magnifying glass. From the origin, civil government, Latin, politia, Greek, I can't read Greek, polity, government, a state, city, related to, a town. That's it? That's all it means? Related to a town? Or I thought it was related to liar. Sorry, I was wrong about that. I would have thought that in the Greek it meant filthy liar who deceives people. There's a famous painting of a politician in the museum here, in the Young Museum that I go to every once in a while. It's been a long time. I got to go this weekend. Very famous picture. I don't remember the name of it, but it shows a group of American, early Americans sitting around a Cracker Barrel in a, you know, early frontier house after settlement, you know. And they're all wearing the clothing of the laborer, the farmer, rather. Overalls, they're smoking corn cob pipes. Peasants, in other words. And in the room, there is a man with fancy dress, and he's lecturing them on something in this little room. And the title of the painting is The Politician. I said, have things really changed? They really haven't. That's what makes art great, or that's what makes great art great. You know. Okay, so let's get back to business at hand here. There's some sound I must play for you. The crypto-fascist in the White House not only is abusing the office and debasing the presidency, at every turn now, he's getting more naked in his debasement of the presidency. This recent trip to Cuba and South America for spring break for the wife and kids is disgusting, especially given that he took two Air Force Ones, not just one, but two. Could you imagine if George Bush had done this? What would be going on today with all of the Lilliputians in the media? Look up the word Lilliputian and you'll see it means Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and the other boys from Brazil. But the charlatan goes, or shall I say the crypto F, goes down there, and he tells Argentinian youths the following in clip three. Listen very carefully for your own safety.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? Ah, you know, you're a capitalist Yankee dog, and oh, you know, you're some, you know, crazy communist, you know, that's gonna take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works.
Do you realize how evil this man is? It's sedition. It's outright sedition. And I'll give you a few facts in less than 3 minutes. Let's see. Socialist and capitalist theories are the same. There was once a young professor in Cambodia by the name of Pol Pot. very much like our president, an idealistic young man, and he went to Paris to study Marxist theory. And he studied in Paris for a number of years, Marxist theory, this Pol Pot. And then he came back to Cambodia, and he introduced the theories he had learned in France on the Marxist theory. And within a few short years, 3 million people were dead. The entire middle class had been wiped out. I think there's quite a difference between socialism and capitalism, Barry. I guess you didn't learn that at Punahou, where you never worked a day in your life. And by the way, how come we've never seen your grades from Columbia? Where are those grades? How come you won't release them? But let's put that aside. That's old news. The big news is that he's ripped his mask off. Obama's taken off his rubber mask, and he is nakedly showing us who he has been all along. Old Abe taught me that you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool Savage any of the time. I looked through this guy from the get-go, and I've been warning you about him from the get-go. What good has it done? You elected him twice, so what do you want from me? What, now you're going to put her in to continue his crazy policies? Go ahead. Go ahead, ruin your nation. Flood your nation with illegal aliens. Destroy your own future. How could I help you if you don't want to listen to the truth? So let's go back to the callers. And we're talking about Good Friday, Purim. I have no Purim callers today. Yesterday they called me angrily. And now the Jewish people stopped talking to me today. I don't know what happened to them. Yesterday they were mad at me. Boy, were they mad. They were calling this show, telling me I didn't know anything, and how dare I say these things about Purim. Where did all of my Jewish callers go today? I apologize if I offended you. That was not my intent. My intent was to save you from yourself. If the Israelis followed the example of modern American Jews who are on a spiral of non-survival, there'd be no Israel. If all of Israel took time out from defending themselves and making a living to get drunk on vodka and eat candies and dance like fools in a circle, Israel would disappear in exactly 1 hour because they're surrounded by wolves who would devour them. And incidentally, speaking of Israel, this is an interesting model with regard to the terrorism that just occurred in Belgium. I was thinking about it last night as well. Certainly it's not a unique idea. Have you seen any bombs going off in Israel recently? Have you seen any cafes in Tel Aviv being blown up by the Muslims? No. Any nail bombs going off inside children's schools? No. Any synagogues being blown up by the Muslims? No. Why? Because the Israelis built a wall, you morons. Think about it. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Boy, are we living in the promised land, that's all I can say. And we will survive this crypto-fascist in the White House. The day will come that he will be gone. Hopefully gone from our memory forever. I hope he takes a job in Cuba. Maybe running a baseball team. He might enjoy himself more. In fact, I'd even contribute a good portion of my taxes if he agreed to leave the country, if he deported himself. This came to me from an important source of mine, anonymous. Good Friday is not for celebrating for Christmas, really, but remembering, because it marks the crucifixion. Easter Sunday commemorates the resurrection, so that's the celebratory day. See, this is what we're learning today. And now we hear from the Jews, so they don't feel that I'm being unfair. WABC, Isaac, thanks for calling from New York City. Isaac, what's on your mind today?
Hi, I heard some comments that you said about the holiday of Purim, and I just wanted to correct you on them, that you're understanding. First of all, I'm an avid fan of your show, and I agree 100% with all your political views, but your understanding of the holiday of Purim is terribly mistaken. And first of all, no one drinks vodka. Everyone drinks wine. And Haman was not the king, was actually Ahasuerus. Haman was the advisor of King Ahasuerus in the Persian Empire of that time. And basically, the celebration of the holiday of Purim is commemorating the divine providence found over the 9 years of the story dated in the Book of Esther. And if you look through the story, the name of God is never actually mentioned, but all the things that fall into place are way too perfect to be a coincidence. So,
well, hold on. We're almost out of time, but I'll keep you on over the break. As I understand it, King Haman gave an edict to kill the Jews, and it was Queen Esther who overrode that. Is that fundamentally a thumbnail sketch of the truth?
That is, yes.
I'm saying a thumbnail. That's the important thing for the average person who's not that into it to hear. But stay on, my friend. We'll be back to talk about Purim, Easter, the smears against Cruz. Good Friday to you. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
If you don't like this music, I guess you can always listen to the rap of today, which symbolizes our current state of affairs. And the fact of the matter is, this absurd mudslinging between Cruz and Trump is going to kill us all. It's going to elect Hillary Clinton as sure as I'm sitting here. Here, let's say there were millions of people in the middle who were ready to go over to one of them. They're going to listen to this anymore. They're failing us in the war against radical Islamism. They're failing us in this war against the liars in the Democrat Party. And so now we're arguing over, is Cruz this, is Trump that? I'm sick of it. It's sick of it. It's like some alien has taken over the campaign. So that's the problem. And we'll talk about it. Let's go back to Isaac on WABC. Isaac, please finish up. Go ahead, please.
I think I was done with my point. Unless you have some other questions. I mean, there's plenty to go into on the details of the story, but I'm sure you don't have much time for that.
Well, you were calling to say that I was wrong in my analysis of why we shouldn't celebrate Purim, and I think that's what you were saying. But my point is that if we lose focus on the Hamans of today by looking at the Haman of the past, we're going to lose everything.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, who was the Haman of today?
Obama.
Well, not really. I mean, he doesn't want to kill the Jews. He just wants to kill America, as we know it. Iran still wants to kill the Jews, don't they? And yet Obama just did a deal with Iran in the last 6 months that gave Iran over $100 billion and the right to build anything they want. So you can argue that Haman is very much alive in several different faces.
Well, I guess Haman would be, the Haman of today is, yes, Iran and the Hasselwares of the story.
So who would be the Queen Esther of today? Who would be the Queen Esther who's going to say, no, you can't do that to the Jews?
Right.
Well, do we have a Queen Esther? Where is she?
Right now.
Here's the answer. Rabbi, here's the answer. Isaac. The Queen Esther is in every Jew who wants to live and not live like a sniveling coward begging for his life. Queen Esther lives in all of us. Queen Esther lives in the Bielski brothers' legacy. Queen Esther lives in those who fled into the woods of Poland and picked up arms to kill Nazis. That's who Queen Esther is. Within all of us, there is the person who will cower and the person who will fight. And I say if you keep killing the fighting spirit inside a person, eventually the person cannot fight. Whereas if you encourage the fighting spirit, anyone can learn to fight. See, this is the... I don't even know if it's legal or what. The feminists have demasculinized America. So they've taken the fight out of a lot of the American men. Certainly not all of them. Just go to an average boxing match or a game and you'll see that that's not true. But they've done everything they can for the last 40 years to destroy the fighting spirit in the American male. Whatever the reasons for it from Bella Abzug and that group of witches is not important to me. But they have distorted the educational system and the media to the extent that any boy who plays tag a little too roughly is called out by the teacher for being, well, I don't know what, too much of a boy. As I said in 1983, if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he'd be given Ritalin. I wrote that in the beginning of one of my books. I think it was Healing Children Naturally. Yeah, if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he'd be called probably a racist and be given drugs for being a live little boy. So anyone raising boys knows what I'm saying. You have the greatest uphill battle of your life to overcome the nastiest generation of school teachers in the history of the world exist right here in America. They are so evil in their hatred for the boy, it's hard to believe. It's become ingrained in the educational system. Look what they're doing at the universities. They've changed the rules of sexual to rape that a girl can say in the middle of a consensual sex act that she really didn't want it, even though she didn't say she didn't want it. Therefore, she thought about it afterwards and she was raped. Now, if that's not a criminal indictment of the educational system, please tell me what is. If that's not a furtherance of the death of the American male, please tell me what is. So that's why we're talking about these things. We have to talk about it because everything starts with an idea. Everything good and everything bad starts with an idea. So we're talking about ideas. It's all about ideas. We could do mudslinging. Yeah, that's fun for a while. More ideas. So let's get focused for a minute. Good Friday today. Christian, important Christian day. Purim yesterday for the Jewish people. Another. It's not as important as Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Passover. Let's be clear. It's a holiday that is practiced primarily by very religious Jewish people who follow the calendar rather precisely. Not rather, but extremely precisely, down to when to turn the candles on and off. They know the dates, and they follow the dates, and God bless them for retaining the history of the people. Without them, there'd be nothing by now. See, that's another thing I wanted to say about, because sometimes maybe you misinterpret what I say and what I mean. And this is a very important thing that I want to say to you now on this Good Friday, especially to my Jewish listeners, the Orthodox in particular. I once said to a friend many years ago, I said, boy, those Orthodox people look crazy to me. The old clothing from the 1850 in Poland, why do they wear that stuff? Why do they wear clothing from 1860 in Poland, a business suit from Poland? Why can't they dress like a businessman today? Well, many have, by the way. Modern Orthodox Jews do. They're not stuck in the past. And I said, why do they eat 19th century Polish holiday food instead of the actual diets of their ancestors, which would be closer to Yemenite food? And he said to me, he said, some would consider them somewhat crazy. He said, but if these crazy people are not only a part of the tapestry of Judaism, without them there wouldn't be Judaism at all because they keep it alive. They're the ones who keep the traditions alive. And that's why they're so important to the world. So that enlightened me, I got to tell you that. That enlightened me. It was a great insight. I think of all the people I've met along, the way in my life, and some of them have said one word or two. Some people are so smart, or maybe they're not that smart, but they say something that sticks with you, and that becomes their wisdom. Who knows? But that stuck with me. It's one of those things that stuck with me. I'll tell you another story that stuck with me about the meaning of life, since this is a somewhat religious holy day for so many people. Here we go, into a mystical state. Pardon me, mystical state. Here's how the story goes about the meaning of life and how the most trivial act that you think is a trivial act could have profoundly spiritual importance. So an Orthodox Jewish man in New York is told by his rabbi to come to Brussels immediately to meet with him. And he didn't tell him why. They don't say why. He has to go to Brussels. And he doesn't ask why they go. So he gets on a plane, and the plane stops in London. The plane stops in London, and there's a delay of the plane from London to Brussels. So he's sitting on a bench at the airport, as the story goes, and he sees a man downtrodden and sad and miserable, and the rabbi talks to him. And he says to him, well, what's the matter? He explains to him how his life has no meaning for this reason and that reason. And he tells the rabbi in confidence, since he doesn't know him, he said, I'm going to commit suicide, rabbi. I'm sitting here in the last minutes of my life. I just don't want to live anymore. So the rabbi talks to him and tells him why his life is important. And the man, as the story goes, feels renewed in life. He has a meaning to live. And he says, I'm not going to do it. So you think the story ends there. So the rabbi gets on the plane and goes to Belgium. So he comes to the rabbi, the chief rabbi, and the chief rabbi says, he says to the chief rabbi, why did you call me here, rabbi? So the man he went to visit says to him, well, why don't you tell me what happened to you on the way here? So the rabbi from New York says, well, this happened on the bench. The man said that. The man said he wouldn't do it. He says, good, now you can go home. That's what you came here for. Much singing and dancing follows with a little round of vodka, and you'll understand the story. That's mysticism. So that teaches us that some of the most trivial acts in our life have profound meaning if you only look for them. And I can't tell you what that means to you, but look around yourself. The miracle of your interactions every day, whether you're in a city or in a a small village. Any interaction, whether it be with, I don't know, with nature, with God, with the animals, or in a big city, rubbing shoulders with everyone in the street, somewhere along the way you're going to talk to a stranger. Who knows what you say to them? All I can say is be careful what you say to them, because that person may be counting on you to pull them in another direction. Right, Robin? I mean, really, the truth is, you got to, loose lips do sink ships. You don't know who the stranger is, know what the stranger means to you. Anyway, maybe that's a little too philosophical for an AM radio show, but it's that kind of day for me. It's Good Friday. Good Friday to you all. And I haven't taken any calls, really, one or two. Let's take a third. 855-407-282, open mic to Mike. WJR, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's happening?
Dr. Savage, they were talking about education. Here in Michigan, we're battling where the children can go into the school, a public school, and say and claim that they, I'm a boy or a girl. And they can use the man's bathroom or the girl's bathroom.
That's all right, well, the sickest, most degenerate people on the planet have stolen your schools from you. I'm sorry, I draw the line. They're insane. You're letting insane people dictate policy. You can't let it happen. And maybe the Muslims in your community will finally stand up to them. I don't think that Muslims are going to put up with that kind of rubbish, do you?
Mr. Savage, we're fighting them. The Democrat Party runs the Department of Education here in Michigan. They're fighting them. This is getting hairy. But, you know, thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Wait. Who's fighting who? Who is fighting the Education Department?
The Republicans are going to strip some money away from the Department of Education.
You mean for doing this to the school children, for perverting their minds, in other words, and defying nature itself. I get it. How interesting. How interesting. The Democrats think that they can defy nature now. 855-400-7282. Let's see what's in the news on the Savage Nation. Let me jump to michaelsavage.com, and I do so because you can get the newsletter here, top right. Pope kisses Muslims' feet after Belgium bombing. One picture is worth 10,000 words. Were Brussels jihadists trying to make a radioactive bomb? Oh, that's not important. From a Muslim himself, from USA Today, the Quran's deadly role in inspiring Belgian slaughter. Read it. And we have a new feature for you today. In addition to getting a free newsletter by clicking one click away, it comes to your inbox. We have the Savage Nation Week in Review from March 21 to 25th. It's sort of the Savage Notes for the week. So we have Monday, Anniversary Day. We have Tuesday. We have Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to review what we wrote about yesterday. Thursday, March 24th, we spoke about this. Obama dances while the world burns. Obama brought two Air Force Ones on our dime. Instead of reassuring the American people after terror attack, Obama apologizes and South American dances the tango. A dance of death in the West. Obama's drunken ideology. Cubans flooding border. Poland abandons plan to shelter illegal migrants. Michelle Obama says she experienced sexism because she was whistled at while in school. Savage was always skeptical about religious holidays. More on USA Today article says effect from Quran needs to be taken into account. That's more or less a good summary. Very good job, Doug. I like this. I think this will help a lot of the regulars to catch up on the Savage Notes at the end of each week. So, look, we're almost out of time in this hour, and that's a very troublesome time for the aficionados of the Savage Nation who have to leave us at the top of the hour. So we'll be back for the last precious few minutes of this element of the program immediately.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
The National Enquirer published a story. It is a story that quoted one source on the record, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's chief political advisor. Let me be clear, this National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies. It is a tabloid smear, and it is a smear that has come from Donald Trump and his henchmen.
I only wish that Ted and Don would cut it out. I only wish that Don and Ted would stop with the peeing contest. I only wish they would focus on the real enemies of our freedom and what must be done to stop the the reincarnation of Obama in a skirt, or shall I say a pantsuit. Today we wake up and we hear Islamic State's number two leader killed in the U.S. military raid in Syria. I said, really, how do we know that? What, because the government told us that? Because Mr. Pink Tie told us that? I don't believe it for a minute. You believe that story? Where's the proof of that? It's like Capricorn 1 all over again. Because Obama was seen as the creature that he is, not caring a whit about what happened in Belgium. He wouldn't come home. He flew on for a further vacation, made a bigger mockery of America wherever he went. And even the Democrats were sending out alarm bells. So they come up with this story? Well, at least that's, some people are saying that. Oh, yeah, Ashton Carter, a very reliable source, Mr. Pink Tie in the Defense Department. Islamic State's number two leader killed in U.S. military raid in Syria, officials say. I still haven't seen Osama bin Laden's body, have you? Why was that hidden from us? After all of the terror and horror that we lived through with that man, why was that not allowed? Why were we not allowed to see that? The burial at sea. That was very suspicious. You know, I mean, it's starting to reach a point of no return with regard to believing nothing anymore. So what do we fall back upon when we don't believe a word that comes out of the media or a word that comes out of our politicians? Tell me, where do you turn for your truth if you don't believe a word that comes out of the media or comes out of politicians or comes out of Hollywood? Where do you turn for your truth? I know the answer. You turn to the Bible if you're religious. When you try to say that God's word is true and that's the end of it, I don't care about anything else. Because the whole world is so full of lies, why should I assume that this isn't the truth? And I'll follow it to the letter of the law. And that's the thing that keeps religious people sane. And keeps them off drugs. And keeps them off alcohol. And keeps them straight and narrow. Because they just say that's it. They don't question every word. In that sense, they have peace of mind. I can't say I'm one of those people. But I respect those who are. But what a day this is. You don't know which way to turn. Trump said this. He didn't do it. He disavowed from it. He didn't say it, but he could have said it. He didn't imply it. Although sometimes the inquirer is right. They're not right in this case, but I hope they're not wrong. But on the other hand, he had nothing to do with it. We don't know who did it. We don't know why it happened. It's sickening. The whole thing is getting out of hand. And the big winner here is the socialist, fascist, well, cabal, shall I say. I like the word cabal. It has something to do with Kabbalah, doesn't it? No, it's the opposite.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Memories, dreams, inflections. Welcome to the program. That was a joke unto itself, but you would have had to know the original source to enjoy it. Look, the big news is that I've suddenly been made into a part of the story. I didn't mean to be made. The Right Scoop's headline is Michael Savage threatens to withdraw support from Trump over National Enquirer smear. Now, they shouldn't have published it so quickly because Donald Trump disavowed his connection to the story, sort of, I would say. And I said, okay, good enough. Now let's move on and talk about the real problems. But all right, I'm part of the story now. I'm part of the national story, which is the way it works. And people pay attention to those of us in radio, maybe more so than they should, or sometimes less so than they should. But that's a big story. And I have to go back to what I was saying and why. I have a friend who I'd put my life in his hands if I had to, okay? He worked with the Enquirer staff going back in the Clinton years. He knows everyone there. And I asked him, is the Cruz sex scandal false or true? This is before the show. He sent an email. Funny you should ask. He said, I was just on the phone with my source there. He said, we don't have it, meaning it's all innuendo. And he said, the article about Cruz is written very carefully, implying without stating. But that's not what's interesting, he said. He said, the National Enquirer is owned by AMI, AMI run by David Pecker, David Pecker, close friend of Donald Trump, and this is all coming from him. chairman and president and CEO of American Media, Inc., owns the National Enquirer, Star, The Globe, various health and fitness magazines. Then I asked again, I said, is this assassination by innuendo of the Enquirer being driven by the Trump machine? And he said, I was just told by the Enquirer insider, one, David Pecker routinely flies to Florida from New York on Trump's private jet. Two, Pecker is personally involved in the anti-Cruz stories. Three, the Enquirer is not allowed to do any anti-Trump dirt. Memories, dreams, inflections. So where does that leave us? We're talking about this garbage instead of the Pope kissing a Muslim's feet 2 days after the Belgium bombing. We're talking about this instead of the mentality of the Haman in the White House, who tells Argentinian youths after stepping on America's history that there's little difference between socialism, Marxism, and capitalism. We're talking about this instead of the excesses of the first family, and we shouldn't. I'm sorry, we should be talking about the bigger issues, my friends. But, you know, the important thing for you to get from this show is this. If need be, I'm not going to support anyone, and I won't even tell you who I'm voting for at a certain point, because then I become just a private citizen at that point. Yes, I have supported Trump because I felt that he was the best chance to beat Hillary, and I still might do so. But I'm not like those who continuously for 3 hours a day beat you over the head with their candidate day and night. Or like one of the lunatics, one of those who's suffering from the toxins of Preparation H, spends 3 hours attacking Trump every day. I didn't know that Preparation H crosses the blood-brain barrier. But in the case of the Holy Roller with the Bible, apparently we should look into, we should have the FDA investigate Preparation H and see if, in fact, it is crossing the blood-brain barrier. Because it is evidencing something's wrong here. Something went wrong with his neurons to spend 3 hours attacking Trump. So I'm not in that camp where it's all day long. And that's about it. But I don't trade in innuendo. I'm not, you know, Mr. Perfect. I never said I was. But I'm not going to, you know, I have only one thing in this business. One. You know what we all have? You know what we trade in? What do we trade in? Well, we trade in our ideas, we trade in our voice. That's our currency. That's what we sell you. Our ideas and our voice. But behind it all, there's another single word that we live or die by, and that's called credibility. I was told that before I even began in talk radio. I was told that by a man who owned 200 radio stations. He said, just remember, Michael, as you set out on this long road of talk radio, you have only one thing that you must protect at all costs, and that's your credibility. I never forgot that. Never. And I've been the subject of smear and innuendo. You know who did it. They pose as great conservatives, some of them. They smeared me in ways that I will never forget. I never forget people who do things to me like that. And every one of the people who've tried to destroy me is now destroyed. Every person on this earth who ever tried to destroy my career, in one way or another, is gone from the stage. Every last one of them. And I leave that to God. God sees the truth but waits. I'm not a vengeful man because I found that a long time ago, God actually seeks vengeance for all of us at the end of the day. Every last one of them. So I'm not here to, you know, grind any axes or whatever like that. But I'm saying this whole story with the Cruz and the Trump and the affairs, it's sickening. It's sickening, and we're going to wind up losing the chance we have to overthrow the socialist fascist agenda unless we have Ted and Don cut it out. Someone's got to talk to Ted and Don, and they better grow up real fast. This is absurd. This is like two guys who are doing real well in a running for the president of the senior class in a high school who are suddenly now blowing it real bad. You know, the whole audience is liable to walk out on them if this keeps up. Someone better talk to both of them real quick. Instead of attacking the other guy, oh, he's right, he's wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, no. Tell them both to stop it and focus their guns on the real enemies, not on each other. But this is what happens every time with Republicans, every last time. Newt Gingrich did it to Romney incessantly in the last election. It was Newt Gingrich who destroyed Romney, by the way, before the election. Newt Gingrich spent every dime that he could find digging up dirt on Romney and destroyed him. He came up with talking points against Romney that were used in the election by Obama. and by the media. It was Newt Gingrich who did it. So now we have these two great guys killing each other in front of our eyes. I prefer Trump. He is still an outsider. Cruz is an insider. Cruz is a U.S. senator. He can't fool me for 1 minute. The wife works for the great investment banking firm of Goldman Sachs. By the way, I have nothing against Goldman Sachs or the investment business. I don't know what this hatred is for investment banks. Without investment banks, there'd be very little new business created in the country. You know, people are so stupid. Wall Street's no good. Well, why is Wall Street no good? What, every Wall Street is a crook? The whole economy runs on Wall Street. What kind of stupidity is this? Hedge funds no good. Why are they no good? What, everyone is bad? They make a lot of money if they're smart. They lose a lot of money if they're stupid. So that's the system that we have. I don't understand this mentality anymore. Well, I do understand this. It's very simple, primitive mentality. Two legs good, four legs bad. I didn't even read. I mean, I read Animal Farm in high school, and I've written many Animal Farms in my career, so to speak. Now let's go to some callers. Kathleen on WJR. The wrong number. Kathleen, are you there or what? Is it a dud?
I'm here.
Okay, fire away quickly.
Okay. You mentioned a dream that you had about Jesus Christ. I am here just to say that as an authentic classical Catholic, the reason we call Good Friday Good Friday in the 2,000 years of Catholic history is because it is the day on which the redemption of humanity was accomplished. That's it.
Okay, thank you for the comment. We covered that already with Clint. Clint gave us the insider. Clint Granberry, the theology degree from Abilene Christian University, my call screener today. My honored call screener today. Well, I want to go to my Facebook page for a minute. I want to see if my picture's up. Did it come up? It's so instantaneous. The old days, you had to send it by Federal Express. There was no Federal Express. First class mail took a week. There it is. I can't believe how fast things are today. I sketched this on questions for March 25th, 2016 on a piece of paper. I sketched a little filmy image, you know. I put it up on Facebook. It's unbelievable. Let's see. Shame on you. Oh, here we go already. So it's okay for Cruz to attack Trump's wife and he's supposed to sit back and take it? Shame on you if you'll pull your support. Trump 2016. Now here we go. The true believers are in there already. Oh, the go. Can't you get over it already? The Right Scoop is a Cruz-supporting website. They hate Donald Trump and smear him daily. Wake up, Mike. Well, I have figured that out already. Who are they owned by? All I can say, Savage, is that I have exactly the same mouse pad. God bless America. What mouse pad? Oh, the mouse pad of the American flag. It must be 20 years old. It's so worn out, I could probably sell it on eBay as an antique. It's all frayed on the edge. I never look at this thing. I don't even know where I got it from. It's a nice mouse pad now that I think about it. The artifacts of the Savage broadcast desk. What's this now? God. Okay, we get all of this stuff. So many of you are celebrating. Hello, Mr. Savage. I listen to your show every day on YouTube. I live in Europe and the Netherlands. I can't listen to your American broadcast, the radio show, or online live stream due to time differences, but I listen to blah, blah, blah. Savage, you Jake Tapper clone. You are reacting to Trump like he did when the whole KKK BS came out. He had nothing to do with what the owner of the National puts out in their papers. Blah, 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 blah. See, this is the two legs good, four leg bad crowd. They don't even hear a word I say. No innuendo. There's no subtlety in most people. It's either you're for this one or you're for that one. This is the same game as Democrat Republican. This is the same garbage I've tried to overcome my entire broadcast career. I refuse to get into Democrat Republican. Democrat Republican. Democrat. That's what I heard for 20 years in the radio. Democrat Republican. Democrat Republican. Now it's Cruz Trump. Same stupidity. Same two-dimensional minds. Ugh. Dear Savage, interestingly, the color green, according to the Catholic Church, signifies hope. A Jesus-looking figure wearing a green robe. I don't like to interpret dreams, but you said because of the vision you decided not to, what? Take the day off today. You regained your energy, although your sketch is more akin to that poisonous squid you talked about the other day, or calamari, as it's called. Maybe you had some Fukushima squid, and that's what your vision was about, and that's what you have all this energy from. No, I had no squid. I don't eat it right now. I've laid off the squid. I don't touch it for months. I don't want frozen, defrosted squid. I don't touch it. No more. How do you know what Jesus looks like? Why, how do you know he doesn't look like this? You have to assume that Jesus looked like a typical Israeli looked like in those days. Or a Palestinian, if you want to call him that. He's from Palestine. All Israelis are Palestinian, actually, by definition. But let's not get into semantics. The Palestinians at that time had a certain look. They did not look like Larry David. Most of the people who occupied Israel at that time looked like Yemenites of today, according to my knowledge of history. And since they looked like Yemenites, you would have to assume that Jesus looked like a Yemenite. Wouldn't you? So why would you assume you know what he looks like? I mean, does it matter what Jesus actually looked like? What do we know about Jesus? We know he was Jewish. We know he was a rabbi. We know those things about him. And by the way, when he died, was he Jewish or not? So far as I know, he was still Jewish when he died. Am I right, Robert? This is no denigration of the Christian religion. But so far as I know, he didn't die saying, I'm creating a new religion. He was a great prophet in the Jewish tradition of great prophets. And some people then said he was God. Okay, so our religion built up around them. Fine, good, great. But let's not alter the realities that we do know about the great prophet or the Messiah or God, God's son, if you want to put it. Any way you want to put it. It's fine by me. All I know is that Christianity is under assault around the world. 1 billion Christians better just circle their wagons real fast and not let the false prophet from the Vatican deceive you for 1 minute. He's more of a divider of Christianity than a uniter of Christianity. He's more of a communist community organizer than he is a Christian. Kissing the feet? I mean, Nancy Pelosi did that. Does that make her religious? No, it doesn't make her religious. It makes her stupid. Who would kiss anyone's feet to begin with unless you were... Who was that guy who was into the foot kissing? I forget his name. You know, nice guy, actually. I met him once. You know who I'm talking about, the pollster guy. I can't remember his name, but he was into that then in the Clinton years. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? There's certain people who have that fetish, foot kissing, which I don't understand. I do not understand that part of it. But to see the Pope doing it to a Muslim 2 days after the bombing, ooh, this is bad. This is like X-rated. This is religion incorporated in the X-rated version. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-26. I wish many of us could feel that way every morning. We get a feeling, a rock and roll song like that running through our veins, and we stretch and go, oh, what a night. How many people still feel that? I guess the young do. Who knows? I guess some of the old do, too. They hear that these old age homes are quite wild. And I'm not Pinocchio. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-282. It's going to be a great weekend. I can just feel it. It's in the air. Tabloid claims Ted Cruz had five affairs. Cruz calls report garbage. Good Friday. Aftermath of Purim. The dream. And that's why I'm on the show. Did you hear that in hour one? Those of you who missed hour one. I was going to take today off because I was burned out yesterday, exhausted from the bombing, the kids, the death. I couldn't take another day of it. And then the campaign has been exhausting, so I had called for a fill-in. And then I had this dream. I've had a lot of different dreams, but we all do. This one was really odd. A Jesus-like figure appeared in my dream in green, and I swear the green was... How can I describe the color? An electric green robe. I know you can mock it all you want. It's okay. Mocking is good. That keeps you alive. It makes you think that you're smarter than everyone else. And then I decided I had to go on the radio because it was an important day for my listeners, Christians and Jews alike. That's all. Simple.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Ride this train with me on this Good Friday. Rock and Roll Friday it is. So who are you for, Trues or Crump? Are you for Crump or are you for Trues? Oh, I'm for Trues. No, I'm for Crump. No, I want Crump. No, I want Trues. Oh, those Trues supporters are no good. It's them Crump supporters that I don't like. I'm for Crump all the way. No, I'm for Trues. Can you look back upon this 100 years from now? You won't even remember anyone's name. Oh, you'll remember Obama as the man who almost destroyed America until he was caught at the end. The story ends well. He was finally found out because he gave himself in. He's been giving himself away every day, but, you know, nothing happens. He doesn't know how much more he can get away with. He says there's no difference between socialism and communism and capitalism. He abuses the office of the presidency, flies to whatever with the two Air Force Ones, nothing happens. Busts the budget out, nothing happens. Does a deal with the terrorist state of Iran, nothing happens. So eventually, something's going to happen, because he's going to give himself up. He can't take this. So who are you for, Trues or Crump? Oh, I'm for Crump. No, I'm for Trues. I'm for Ted Crump. I'm for Donald Trues. So can we focus instead on what's really going on in the world for right now and let it go already? That's why I'm doing the Good Friday show. Trues, Crump. So now they're going to make this into the whole story all weekend. This is the whole weekend story. Trues, Cruz. Savage threatens to withdraw support from Trump over national crisis. I said I didn't already. That didn't come out in the right. I didn't know he was owned by Cruz. See, I'm not wholly owned. I am not a wholly owned subsidiary of any candidate. Let me be clear. That's all I have to say. I'm not talking about anyone else. I am not owned by any campaign. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want overly associated with anyone anymore either. I don't care who's running for office. Anyway, at the end of the day, all I want is the socialist vermin to be driven out of power. So what choice do I have? It's either Trump or Cruz. Or is it Cruz or Crump? And we'll have to see how it plays out. I told you before, I'm being consistent with my opinion. I don't like Cruz. I think he's sneaky. I think he's oily. I think he's an insider. I don't like anything about him. But if he is the candidate, I will vote for him. And I'll repeat that again. It's that simple. Politics is the dirtiest of all businesses. And I expected that it would get dirty, but I didn't think that they would be this stupid and stoop this low and take the American people's eye off the real ball. The real ball is the guy in the White House and the skirt that will follow him unless they stop attacking each other. That's the real ball. So they're blowing it. Maybe they can learn from me and stop it already. See, they should come out in solidarity right now with each other. Immediately, they should both put this behind themselves for the sake of America and say there's nothing to this anymore. We're not going to be brought down by the media. He's a good guy. I'm a good guy, but I'm better because, and that's it. Here, my position's better because, and live on the high road. Walk down the high road, live on the high road, and stop it already with the mudslinging. But since no one listens to my advice, except my listeners who I really care about, I'm not running for office, remember. And I'm not currying favor with Donald Trump or anyone else for any favors, so I won't be invited to the inauguration. Big deal. I'll get another takeout lunch and watch a ball game. I'm going to sit in the rain with an umbrella and say I was at Trump's inauguration. Fine. So I won't be invited now. What am I going to lose? Oh, I won't be running the NIH. I'm sorry. I won't be running the... I wasn't going to run anything. I'm not a bureaucrat. I could never run that. I don't want to run anything. All I do is want to live and do my radio show. So that's why we're talking. We're just talking here. What now? What are you calling about? Okay, we got a lot of ministers. Okay, Grace on WJR. Go ahead, Minister Grace. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to give you a little insight on your dream.
Okay, but you got to do it fast and a little better in the phone because you're breaking up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, on your dream, I don't know if you know, but they say the prophets that are talking that they're saying they're prophets, that green is the color of Islam.
Wait. Are you a Christian yourself? You're a Christian minister, Grace?
By the way. And so I'm thinking that your dream means that Islam is coming to America. This is what I get from my spirit. And if you go to Revelation, it talks about all the different colors of the different horses, the black horse, the red horse, and all those have meaning. Jack Van Impe, he talks about all this Islam stuff. He knows more. He's a prophet. and you might want to look into him. He can tell you a little more. But I'm an African-American woman. I didn't vote for Obama. I got a lot of flack from my family and friends. And I knew that it was something strange about this man. When I read his views, when he was running, something in one of those papers that I saw said that you could spit on the flag. And that did something to me. I'm like, what? We don't care what you do with the flag. And that he was palling around with the people that blew up the towers. I mean, what happened to America? Why couldn't they see that? I mean, for goodness sake, his name is Barack Hussein Obama.
All right, you got that right. So you started by saying you see my dream as symbolizing Islam coming to America, but in what form? Islam is in America. There are millions of Muslims here now. But as I quoted on my show, many of them say that the Quran's deadly itself, and it has to be modified. It says the Quran's deadly role in inspiring the Belgian slaughter, written by a young Muslim raised in a Muslim family. Do you think that my dream could prophesize the coming together of Christianity and Islam to stop the world's terrorists?
It could be that. I don't know about stopping them, but because you said it looked like Jesus, now this is me, my spirit talking, is that they're going to prevail here in America. And in their Quran, it says that they claim they believe in Jesus, but their Jesus is his name is Isa, I think, and that he's going to be the executioner of everyone who does not succumb to Islam when they
come. Oh, so you're saying that they're coming under the false flag of Christianity, those who would conquer the Christians.
Correct. That,
wow.
That could be what you're... My mother could interpret dreams. I don't know if I got a
no,
little...
No, I love spiritual seers. I have sought them out my whole life in all corners of the world, and you're one of them. You come from a family of such. And there are families like this who do see things. I've seen it all over the world. The years I spent, and I'm going to say it again, so the people hear me, I spent many a night in all black villages, Melanesian people in the South Pacific, sitting up all night, listening to them talk. I've sat around, if you want to call them witch doctors, I don't care what you call them. I met people who could see the future. And it runs in families. It's right here in America. There are many people who, not many, there are a few, who see it. And it comes in all races and religions. You know that.
Okay. So in the Bible, it does say that, you know, there are necromancers, they had witches, and some of the disciples were casting out those spirits of those women that had those familiar, they call them, familiar spirits. And the people got angry because they made them much money. So that tells you that it was real. They could do it. But I had something funny in case you have to take, you know, your next caller. Did you hear that they had an effigy of Trump in Mexico and they're making piñatas of him?
Yeah. Well, they're good at that. They're good at effigies, especially when the effigy is of someone else than their own leadership, which is totally corrupt. Because if they ran an effigy of their own corrupt leader, they wouldn't last 10 seconds in that corrupt, homicidal nation. God bless you, young lady. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It's about 19 minutes to the hour. Let's take another caller. I'd like a caller like that now, Clint. Come on, dig through them. Come on, Clint, turn off the ball game. I'm joking. Clint's a great guy. He's filling in for Jim, who I think is observing Good Friday today. Probably wishes he was here on the air instead of... No, Jim had to take a day off, and here we are. I wouldn't be here, but not for the dream. When I woke up in a start, I said, I have to be on the air tomorrow. It's a must. It's Good Friday. And have a lot of people who are to and from and to. Like you look at the time, where are people right now? Well, they're not in church right now. They're coming from church. They're going home. Or is this a holiday? Do most people get the day off? I don't think so. Not in America. This is no holiday. It is. This is a work holiday for people. Where? I don't even know. Who gets off on a day like today? Oh, government workers, of course. Obama gets every day off. You got to ask yourself which days he's on. Because to him, the whole thing is a vacation. When does spring break end? Because then we'll know when he'll be back with the kids, when they have to go back to the school. It's over today? Oh. I think they came home last night, Air Force One and Air Force Two. See, they don't really burn fuel, Air Force One and Two. When the great Obamas are in those planes flying to South America, this is what you don't understand. This is a racist thing to say, because Air Force One and Air Force Two, when he flies in them, they don't actually use fuel. He is such a divine individual, and he's so much above the average man that those planes fly on air itself. those planes suck in the air from the atmosphere and convert it to a form of God's fuel for the great man to go on these vacations. And so it is false to say that Air Force One spews carbon dioxide and pollutants into the atmosphere. Maybe that was true when George Bush was in them, but not when Obama's in them. When Obama, what comes out of the back of that plane is clean enough for Larry David to breathe. The air that comes out of the back of those engines when Obama flies in them is clean enough even for Harvey Weinstein to bathe in. You have to understand that. All of Hollywood can bathe in the jet fumes of Air Force One and Air Force Two when the Obamas are flying on them, because it's a different type of Air Force One. It's a better Air Force, a cleaner Air Force, a healthier Air Force. Do you actually believe that they killed number two in ISIS? What's the evidence to that? This came out exactly 2 days after Obama made an embarrassment of the phrase commander-in-chief. He was absent without leave, AWOL. If he was a battlefield soldier during a time like this, he would be court-martialed for what he just did. So people were screaming, you got to get him back here. No, Noah can reach him. We know where he is. Call him. He was just dancing with that girl in Argentina. It's all over the news. The world's laughing at the guy. There was a bomb when people are dead in Belgium. We tried our best. We said it doesn't matter. We said we're rushing our best there. We send John Kerry there. No, we got to get him back. We don't know where he is. We're trying to reach him. Try the Tango Club. Maybe he's still there. No, he left already. 2 days later, the U.S. Air Force struck and killed second in command of ISIS, according to Ashton Carter, a very reliable source, Mr. Pink Tie. Well, I don't know if it's true. Maybe it is true. How would we know? Seems like PR to me. Capricorn 1. Landed a man on the moon. Okay. I don't believe a word that comes out of this government. I started out cynical. I wound up more than I started out skeptical. I ended up cynical. How's that? Or should I put it the other way? I started out as a cynic and I wound up as a skeptic? No, that's not true either. I started out with Abraham Lincoln. You could fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time. Can't fool all people all the time. Boom, boom, boom. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Now we come to the conclusion of the Savage Nation as I fiddle around with my timbales in the last hour of the program. Always keep a handy set of drums next to my broadcast desk, reminding me of my youthful wanderings. And what did we talk about today on this Good Friday? We talked about Good Friday. We talked about Purim. We talked about a dream. We talked about the feud between Cruz and Trump. We talked about the deceitful president abusing the office of the presidency, making a mockery of the presidency, how no one in the media will dare say one word about the abuse of power. And all of that other stuff that talk radio is well known for. And here we are. The Book of Dreams, The Savage Nation. What would you like to talk about in these last moments? Robert on KSFO, line 3, fire away, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, I've heard you mention in the past a couple of times in regard to the banksters and the financial institutions. And one of my personal reasons why I'm so upset with the banks is not only due to the fact of Chris Dodd and Barney Frank and the bill that they passed, but it's just the amount of power that these banks have got and the fact that the American people have been the ones stuck flipping the bill on their...
So who would you give the money to if not the banks? The banks are a convenient target of wrath. Who would you give the money to?
Oh, man, I'm not even really sure at this point.
Well, are you saying break up the banks? So where would you put your money, under the mattress? Who would you turn to for a mortgage? A mattress?
And I just can't trust the banks anymore nowadays.
But what you're doing is you're repeating what's a convenient lie about an imaginary boogeyman, that all banks are evil, all banksters are evil, all investment banks are bad. This is a convenient boogeyman created by the left. It's what was done to bring down governments before. Bernie Sanders trades in such fallacies. He's never come up with an alternative. Of course, his argument is such that since all the banks are so corrupt, we can only trust the government. So therefore, there's going to be one gigantic government bank under Bernie Sanders. And we'll be more fair than those evil bankers out there. That's the kind of lie that you're falling for, so be careful who you listen to. The banks are evil. If you ever went for a mortgage, who do you turn to? Where does the money come from? It flows through a bank. First house, you got to get a mortgage. Who do you get a mortgage from? A bank. Want to buy a car? You got to get a loan. Where do you get a loan from? Bank. So what do you mean banks are evil? You would have nothing in the world without credit. I learned that a long time ago when I was a young, idealistic person traveling in the South Seas collecting plants. I watched a somewhat early market society emerging in Suva in the Fiji Islands. And I saw the very industrious Indian shopkeepers putting up stores. And where do they get the money from to buy their merchandise and to market their merchandise and to pay the electric bill? Why, they borrowed the money from a bank. And then I understood capitalism better than I had ever understood it from textbooks in college. You have to live to understand reality. So when you have an evildoer like Obama in the White House saying in Argentina that there's little difference between socialism, Marxism, and capitalism, you have to understand how evil really operates and how evil he really is. Because he's omitting the history of tragedy and of genocide committed under Marxism. And you young people should know that Bernie Sanders is perhaps one of the most evil fork-tongued people to have ever entered the American political stage. He can only get away with it because of the naivete of the young, their willingness to accept virtually anything that's told to them, and their desire to get everything for nothing. Thanks for listening on this Good Friday. Good night. God bless America.